course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Good evening. How are you, seven? Doing all right? Cool. Now, Matt mentioned earlier that there was a big fight today. Did anyone actually watch it? Four people. Now, I don't know about you, but this might have been the first time you've heard of it. For me, I don't know what kind of friends I have on Facebook, but my Facebook was flooded with this fight, news of this fight, for like months. It was a big one, biggest of the century. It was like Queensland, New South Wales, like that level of big. Milo versus Nesquik. You know what I'm saying? Five Sauce versus 1D. It was next level big. Now, you might have not heard of it, but it was between these two guys. On the left, you got Floyd Mayweather, and on the right, Manny Pacquiao. Floyd and Manny. Now, just so you get an idea of how big this fight was, which was today, I looked up some of the stats, and if you wanted to go see it, if you wanted to go see it live, and maybe you didn't have that much money, so you wanted the very back seat, right next to the exit, one ticket was $1,500 for the cheapest seat in the house. If you were feeling like you wanted to splurge and wanted a bit closer, courtside tickets for one was $180,000. This is a big fight. Now, what about advertising? Obviously, this draws a lot of advertising. Say that we really wanted to put St. Paul's on the map. Say we wanted to, I don't know, advertise that the house is open at 8:30 tonight, Krispy Kreme's for all. If we want to put that message out to the world, to put our logo on the shorts of one of these boxes, $1.5 million. That's a lot of Krispy Kremes. But what about the fighters themselves? What did they earn for this big event? Well, win or lose, just for showing up, Manny on the right, he got $80 million. Just to show up. And poor Manny, he got the raw end of the deal because Floyd, just to show up, received $180 million for half an hour of boxing. Now, if you do the math, which I did, $180 million, maximum 30 minutes of boxing. That is $6 million a minute for Floyd Mayweather. Every second he stands in that ring is another $100,000 in his pocket. This is ridiculous. This is a huge event. And you probably never heard of it. It's ridiculous. And whether you're into boxing, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it caught my attention because it was flooding my Facebook for the last few months. So I started looking behind the scenes. What's the big deal? And what I discovered was these two characters, these two boxers that had completely different characters. I watched a few videos, and I'm going to show you just a few clips of the lead-up to this fight. And whether you're into fighting or not, whether you're into boxing, I want you to look at this video and then decide who you would have gone for. So let's play the clip.
I fight for many different things. I fight for myself. I fight for the money. I fight for legacy. I fight because I want to be the best. I fight because I want to go down in history as one of the best. That's the reason why I fight.
And the fighter who saw himself as a promoter.
Some guys you love, some guys you hate. That's what sells tickets.
They're watching a legend right now.
First, the money.
Money isn't everything. Money is the only thing.
Then, the power.
This fight happened because of me.
Now, he controls it all.
I'd rather be hated for being real and who I am than be loved for someone that I'm not.
But more than anything, it's a man whose whole life is guided by his innate, tremendous love for God, and who attributes all the success that he's had in life to God.
First, I would like to thank God for giving us a wonderful day, a beautiful day for us. I just want to let you know that everything that I have accomplished is God who gave me the strength. I'm hoping that after the fight, we can have a conversation with Floyd, you know, sharing my faith about God. I hope this fight is going to be not only to entertain people, but to give an inspiration to all the people around the world, and that there is God, you know, there is God that who can raise someone from nothing into something. As Jesus is the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. God bless.
So you got two boxers, two different characters for this main event. Now, whether you're interested or not, can I just check, who would want Floyd to win? No, okay. Hands up if you prefer Manny Pacquiao to win this fight. It's interesting, isn't it? Because on one side, you've got Floyd Mayweather, self-made man. Some would say selfish, self-centered. Now, this isn't me putting him down, because these videos that I showed, they were all about him. And in the credits, it said executive producer, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, that's as bad as having your own website about videos about you and calling it by your name. I mean, this is next level self-centeredness. You've got Floyd on one end, and then this guy, Manny Pacquiao, on the other end. And you notice that he attributed everything that he's ever done, his success, his skill, to someone else, and that someone else was God. Two different characters, two different ends of the spectrum. You could call it selfish and humble. And I wonder why we all chose Manny. Well, because humility is attractive. And humility is an interesting thing. I mean, they are pretty even. They have the same power. And yet one of them draws the attention to himself, the other passes on the praise to someone else. And that's the difference between selfish and humble. Selfish says it's all about me. Humble says it's all about someone else. We see this in life all the time. I'm obsessed with this idea of the last Tim Tam. You know, there's one Tim Tam left, but there's a few of you there. I think the last Tim Tam reveals a lot of character in us. Because the selfish person, there's not even a thought. That's mine. I deserve it. It's mine. No one else is going to get it. The humble person, would you like the last one? Would anyone like it? They offer it before they take it. Selfish first, humble. I reckon the best example is trying to merge in traffic. Now, there's two sides of this, because you could be the person that lets someone in. We've all been there, right? You let someone in because you're humble. You want to put them first. But they don't acknowledge you. Selfish. But on the other side, you're at a T intersection and there's no lights. It's simply you've got to find a space. And it must be peak hour or in a school zone because there's no space. The only way that you're going to get out is if someone slows down for you and holds the other cars up. But no one does. Until finally, you get the little flicker of the lights and you say, "You, sir or ma'am, are the greatest person in the world. Australian of the year for that person." Because they were humble enough to slow down and let you in. Or you got that friend who is either on this end of the spectrum and is so tight with money. It's like they've got documents of what you owe them, no matter how much it is. Remember you owe me 20 cents. Okay, but on the other side, you've got friends who they're so free with giving their money to you and they never ask for it back. Selfish versus humble. Selfish says it's all about me. Humble says it's all about someone else. So, who's humble? Hands up. It's a funny thing, humility, because it's the only thing in the world. As soon as you realize you've got it, it's gone. That's humility. So we get to Genesis 4 and we get introduced to two other characters, just like Floyd and Manny. Two characters, and this is Cain and Abel. And we get two different responses for the same thing. Let me read to you from verse 2. "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast." So first of all, you got Abel. And what does he bring? He brings God his best, his first. And by doing this, he's saying, "You've provided this for me, and so I give back freely." But then on the other hand, the second response, we've got Cain. He also brings God something, but it seems like it's other than his best, other than his first. We don't know exactly what it was that God expected or where Cain fell short, but we know this because in verse 5 it says Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. And that's very revealing because this reveals that Cain was expecting something back. That Cain was expecting the favor that Abel got. Does it make sense that in that response, this wasn't even a sacrifice at all from Cain? Because he thought God owed him. This was simply bargaining with God. I will bring you this so that you will bless me. Does it make sense how selfish that is? That this transaction is all about me, what I can get out of God, so I can bring him whatever I want. I wonder if we can treat God the same. God, I come to church every week. I'm at a small group in the week. I even serve. I give money to the church and money to the poor. So now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to give me what I want. God owes me. That's selfishness. Rather than doing the things out of a response of joy and humility, knowing that he gave it to us in the first place. So this was Cain's sin. God asked him, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? And this is what God says to him. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Or in other words, if you do what is good, what you know is the right thing, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. He warns Cain, if he keeps going in this direction, it's going to lead to destruction. God says there's two choices. Do what's right, do what's good. But if you don't choose what's right, then sin is right there, crouching, ready to have you. So Cain makes his choice. He's heard the warning, and Cain makes his choice. And what does he choose? Well, this is what it says. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. See, God's warning revealed itself in Cain. He refused to do what he knew was right. He gave in to sin, and his destructive pattern led him to killing his own brother. Cain's sin was that he knew what the good thing was. He knew what the right thing to do was. But he decided to do it his own way. He says, I have a better way. But we do that too, right? God says, I want you to do it this way. I want you to do what's good. And we say, no, I've got my own way. Trust me, this is a better way. The first response is Cain's response. I'm God of my life. I am owed something. But God still had a part in Cain's life. So what was missing? But this is the problem. The problem is that God isn't God of anything unless he is God of everything. God isn't God of anything unless he is God of everything. The second response is humility. Humility under God, giving God everything, our best, our first. And then we start to see things from God's perspective. See, picture those two worlds. Picture two worlds where everyone's decided to go one way. Picture a world where no one is humble under God. No one is humble under one another. We would never get the last 10-10. It'd be chaos. A bunch of people that are so self-centered, borderline narcissistic, that my life is all about me and I care about no one else. Imagine a world like that. But then imagine a world where everyone was humble under God and each other, which says, I'll put you first. I'll put you before me. Imagine that world. I saw a few links on Facebook, and you know, good things come on Facebook every now and then. And I found a couple of stories which give us a glimpse of what the world would look like if people did this more. If people were humble under God and under each other, putting others first. The first one is this. I don't know if you've seen this. Now, if you're a full-time worker and you've got that precious day off, you probably want to relax, Netflix all day. But this guy is a barber in New York City, and on his day off on Sunday, he goes out into the streets of New York and cuts hair for free for people living on the street, for people that are homeless. Spends his whole day doing this. And he does it because he wants them to feel a sense of dignity and that they would feel so much more at ease trying to get work because they look the part. So this is what he spends his Sundays doing, his day off. The next one is a similar story. On the top left, you've got a homeless woman, and this guy decides, I'm going to build her a place to stay so that she can get out of the cold, so she has a safe place to live. Does it make sense that he is putting her interests above his? He didn't have to do this. It would have taken him time and money to do this, but he was humble, which led him to put someone else first. You got the idea of two different worlds. A world that is full of people that are full of themselves, or a world that is full of people that put others first. Which one do we want to live in? Which one sounds more attractive? It's the difference between a world that is selfless and selfish. A world full of gratitude rather than attitude. A world full of humility rather than humiliation. A world full of people asking, how much can I give? Rather than, how much can I gain? Imagine a world like that. Well, you know that that world is heaven. And we're promised that one day that world will be where we are all humble under God and there is no more sin. That day will come, but not yet. So what do? We are called to be those people in the world today. That is the heart of Christianity. You might be here for the first time. You might have never heard what Christianity is about. Well, let me tell you that this is the heart of Christianity. It's the heart of God, that we would put God in his place, which is above us. And from that point, he tells us, put others first. Look after the poor. Look after the needy. That is the heart of Christianity. So how do we get there? How do we become this person? Cain had two choices, serve God or serve himself. God said to him, do what's right, do what is good. But he served himself and sin grabbed him and destruction followed. How do we get there? What's the turning point? I want to show you a video, and this video is a friend telling his story. There's a guy named Ross. You might have met him. He's been around for about 5 months. And I want to show you his experience because he had these two choices. He had these two choices, and I want to show you what he decided and what happened after that. So pay attention to the screen.
Hi, my name's Ross. I'm 22 years old, and I started going to St. Paul's Castle Hill 5 months ago. My life before I encountered God and really dived into a relationship with him, it was pretty hopeless. I had pretty bad social anxiety and I just stayed in my room for a long period of time. It was really hopeless. After I quit my job, I worked at a supermarket. I was working in the deli and I was just always afraid of everything and everyone. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't look people in the eye. And it was just destroying me, this, you know, just being by myself always and not being able to talk to people. I didn't talk to my siblings or my family. I had literally no relationships. Got to a point where it became so bad. My brother had his wedding and I didn't want to go to it. So I went outside my house and I went up to the forest and I sat on a rock for, you know, 12, 13 hours. From, you know, morning till sundown, just waiting for it to be over, just sitting on a rock, just by myself. My problems were getting so bad, you know, my anxiety was getting so terrible. I had this plan in my head to fix it myself. I was like, I'm going to become a lot healthier. I'm going to start exercising. I started eating organic food like a crazy man for a few months. But it didn't change anything. It didn't fill me up with hope. And I had this picture, I'm just gonna exercise and, you know, go to the gym, and God, Jesus is gonna be somewhere around here somewhere, you know. He's just gonna be the guy that, you know, I pray to, and he gives me stuff, and, you know, I thought I knew who Jesus was. I read the Bible and I went to church a few times, but it just wasn't a reality. It was in my mind, it wasn't in here, and I was still rejecting God for a long time. I didn't want to put him number one. I wanted to go my own way, and I wanted him to, you know, just be loving, and, you know, but I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to surrender my whole heart to Jesus. The moment I gave my life to Christ and I really invited him to my heart was, you know, after this moment of just drinking by myself, and I drank so much, and it was just a bit ridiculous. And I remember waking up and just being a mess. And I remember I cried out to God, and I repented, and I just, Lord, I'm wicked, I'm sinful, like, I'm just a mess, you know. Everything I do is just evil, and God just, something happened, and God just rescued me at that moment, and he forgave me, and he brought me into such a deep, intimate relationship with him, and, you know, he zapped me with his love, and, you know, that's it, like, it's done. As soon as I did that, the next few days were just amazing. All this anxiety lifted off my shoulders, and it dramatically lifted off as each day went. Since I gave my life to Jesus, he's really just been the hope that gets me through, you know. Sometimes I still struggle, sometimes I still feel anxious, but he's always there and I can trust in him. And, you know, my weakness drives me to him, and he is my strength. I've been developing relationships with my family again. I've been developing relationships with the people around me. Like, I go up to random people and I speak to them, and that was, like, really scary for me before. You know, I remember, you know, I used to walk down the street with all this panic and anxiety. But now, you know, I go to breakfast with my dad and we talk and we hang, and I'm speaking to my mum. And, you know, it's just really good that, you know, Christ can turn what seems so dark around and just flip it into light. And that's just amazing. I'm just blown away just how much I've been given, and this is a free gift, and it's just beautiful. God didn't just come to give us tickets into heaven. He came to bring fellowship with him, and that is the ultimate joy in this life. That is the ultimate joy in my life, and, like, it's just beautiful. So I love God, and there's nothing else I want in this world now except for Jesus. I just want Jesus. I just want him. I want to follow him with everything I am. I want to give it all to him, and it's so worth it. He's like the treasure, you know? He's the treasure of my life. Amen.
Wow. That's great. I think that's a good way to end.
I feel like I'm too passionate, man.
That's Ross. He is awesome. And just to give you a little bit of backstory about Ross, I used to lead him when he was in year 11 here at Crossfire, and he'll be okay with me saying this. He was the weird kid, and not because of his quirks or anything like that. He had some stuff going on that he really couldn't break out of, and after school, after he left, me and some of the other leaders would get just these crazy Facebook messages. He was obviously in a mess, and some of you might know his sister Jane Waddell, who comes here, and, you know, she's been praying for years for Ross, knowing that he's caught up and he can't see clearly, and it was wrecking his life. He had no relationships, couldn't get out of the house. I left a bit out in the video where his neighbor came into the house to chat to the parents, and Ross freaked out and hid in the pantry for half an hour, because he was that scared of people. So when he came here 5 months ago, I saw him, I was like, Ross, I hadn't seen him for ages. And he ran up and gave me this hug, and I was like, okay, something's up. Like, this guy would not hug anyone. And they started bawling his eyes out. And we went outside and chatted, and the first thing he said to me after I asked him what's going on, he said, "Jesus saved me." Now, I knew what that meant because I knew that he needed saving. He needed something in his life. But the thing was, he would come to church every now and then. He would read the Bible. He knew a little bit about the Bible. He obviously used to come to youth group. So I said to him, like, what's the difference? What was the difference between before that night and now after that night? And he said, "You know what? The difference is I gave everything to Jesus. I realized that I had been giving a little bit. As he said in the video, I'd put him over here. He was determining the rules between him and God, just like Cain. But that's not what God wants from us. See, Ross gave up trying to deal with his sin, trying to deal with his insecurities, trying to deal with his imperfections by himself. He gave it up. And the moment that he gave it up and gave it to Jesus, that was the moment where he came into that intimate relationship with God that has changed him, completely transformed him. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to make a choice. It's a really simple choice. And the choice is this. You might be new here, or maybe you've been here for a while. As we're speaking about being humble under God and speaking about giving everything to God, I want you to simply make the choice. Do you want to do that tonight? Do you want to leave tonight fully humbled under God? What that means is treating God as God, giving him everything. Whether you're a Christian or not, would you make that choice tonight? I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute. But you might be sitting there and asking, why? Why should we humble ourselves under God? And the answer is because he humbled himself under us. This is what it says in Philippians 2. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross." So we ask, why should we humble ourselves? It's because he's already done it. He's the perfect example. Jesus humbled himself under us, under the people who executed him, who crucified him, knowing that he was God, and at any point he could have said, "Stop, you've gone too far, come off that cross," and done whatever he liked. But he didn't. He stayed there. How much more should we humble ourselves under the God that created us, who knows us and loves us? If it's selfish versus humble, who wins? It's humble every time. See, where Cain failed, Jesus prevailed. Where Cain spilt the blood of his own brother for his own gain, Jesus spilt his blood for our gain. Where Cain did his own will, Jesus did the will of God. Where Cain could not deal with his own sin, Jesus dealt with the sin of everybody once and for all. God doesn't owe us anything, and yet he gives us everything. See, do you notice in Ross's story, he didn't say, and then one day I worked it out. I finally got it. I worked it out. No. He He said it was a gift. Now, he had a massive part to play in giving his life to Jesus, but he described it as a gift. He couldn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. God gave this to him. We don't deserve to be in a relationship with God. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve it. We certainly can't earn it, so it must be a gift. A gift that God freely and joyously gives to us through Jesus. So I want to ask you tonight, would you accept that gift? Would you accept this gift of a relationship with God that transforms your life, and only because Jesus made it possible by dying for those sins on that cross? I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Just like Ross did that moment that he gave his life to Jesus. In this prayer, I'm going to say that, God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this gift, but through Jesus, I accept it. I accept this gift of freedom from sin, and from this point, I give you everything. That's the prayer. And I want to ask you to make that choice now. Whether you're here and you know you've never actually done that, you've never given everything to God, maybe you've given nothing to him. Or whether, like Cain, you gave him something but it wasn't your best. Or like Ross, you gave him something but it wasn't everything. Wherever you're at, I want you to pray this prayer with me if you want to say that tonight, I accept this gift and I want to live the rest of my life giving Jesus everything. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray this prayer, I'm going to pray in short sentences. And just repeat this in your head and in your heart from you to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you don't leave us where we are. You don't leave us in the selfish state that we've gotten ourselves in. We want to say sorry for our sin. Sorry for those times that we know your way, but we choose to do it our own way. Thank you for the work Jesus did on that cross to bring us back into relationship with you. We pray that from this point we would give you everything and live the rest of our days humbly under you, our great God. Amen. I want to say, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, it's done. God zapped you with his love. It's done. That's the best thing about being a Christian. It's done. Everything that comes from this point is simply a response of love. It's not ticking the boxes. It's not keeping up with this gift. It's a response of love from the gift. What I want you to do is, you might find one of these on your chair. If you don't, I can like throw them out and you can catch them. Or text. All right, cool, we'll do that. Five stole them all. It was crazy. There's a few options on this, and I want to make this really clear. This isn't a response. You've already made the response. Whether you said yes or whether you said no, you've already made the response. This card or this text that I want you to send through is simply indicating what you decided, because there's a danger. Just like God gave Cain a danger, but sin is creeping at your door. There's a danger that you made the decision, you're happy, you leave, and you don't tell anyone about it. And the danger is that you never grow in this new relationship with God. We want to help you. We want to help you. And so this response, that's the number there. If you can get out your phones, I want you to send a text. Everyone to send a text. Start with your name or a nickname, whatever you want to be called. And I want to give you a few options what to write in this text. The first one is if you prayed that prayer, whether it's for the first time or whether you want to come back to God and give Him everything, I want you to write yes to Jesus. I just made that up. I want you to write yes to Jesus because that will indicate to us that you've said yes, that you've responded. And Eric's going to give you a call during the week to let you know what the next step is. If you're here, you're part of St. Paul's, and you already have a relationship with Jesus and you're loving Him, I want you to write, I'm cool with Jesus. I like making these things up. Write, I am cool with Jesus. If you want to find out more, we got a course coming up that will explain what this means way better than I could ever do. So text EXPLORE. I didn't make that one up. Text EXPLORE to that number and we will get you information about Christianity Explained, which is an awesome course. Next one. Just type questions. And not only type it, but make sure that after this service you come and talk to me or one of the ministry staff. If you've still got questions about what I've said tonight, about what you know about Jesus, please come and find those answers. And finally, if you've heard what I've said today and you say, thanks, but I'm okay, just put no thanks. Eric will not call you. Everyone can be involved in this. So as you type that text with whatever response you want to give, I want to say that if you made that commitment tonight, there's celebrations to be had. They're having a Krispy Kreme party in heaven. But does it make sense that you have now passed from death to life, and so that is reason to celebrate? So I want to do something now, and I wonder if for those people, and especially for God, if we can give a massive applause to what Jesus has done. Go. We're going to sing our last song, and maybe this will be the first time that you can worship the God who has saved you. And during this, if you did somehow find a card, you can pop it in the bags that are coming around. And also, it's an opportunity to take a giving, which will help to make Jesus' name famous here and around the world, and to help others too. So why don't you stand as the band leads us.